This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I saw Jed Marshall's tweet last night. He was inspired and they got some new and different music for today, so this is one of those new tunes. You are listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 at WHB. We are broadcasting live from the Overland Park Convention Center for the Tasty Expo, which I'm going to tell you about. Jed Marshall is running the show back at the Rally House Studios, and we have some good guests lined up for today's show. They're all going to join us via the Sprint guest line. Matt Wheeler from ESPN covers college basketball and is also helping get their NBA draft shows ready. So Matt Wheeler is going to join us at 9:25. At 10 o'clock, Jan Kessinger from the Kansas House of Representatives represents the 20th District from Overland Park, is helping craft legislation to move forward on a sports gambling measure in the state of Kansas. How long will that take? What will it look like? What will be the framework? And will they give in to sports leagues that want to take a 1% integrity fee, which is basically highway robbery? Seren Petro has railed about it all week, and I agree with what Seren has said about this. It's ridiculous to give these leagues 1%, especially considering that most of the leagues outside of the NBA have spent millions of dollars on lawyer fees to take the case all the way to the Supreme Court. And now that the Supreme Court said, no, every state should be able to do this, the teams are standing there with their hands out. And it's ridiculous. So Jan Kessinger at 10 o'clock. At 10:25, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com will join us, talk a little Sporting KC. They have the rare Sunday afternoon game against Minnesota United FC, or the Loons, as their fans call them. So Andy Edwards at 10:25. David Leske at 11 o'clock, talking Royals baseball. Good win against the Yankees last night. Good all-around team effort. And we'll break that down as well. But first, let me tell you about the Tasty Expo out here at the Overland Park Convention Center. I got out here about 7:45 this morning, and I didn't know what to expect. I have not been to the Tasty Expo before. But I walked in, and there are food and beverage vendors from all over Kansas City and across the Midwest and across the country. And they have food samples, and they have drink samples. And some of the people who are out here, they have 150 food and beverage companies. That tells you how big it is. And they all have free samples. You can come by and get free samples of all these foods. They have representatives from Deep Eddy Vodka. They have a classic streamlined trailer outside that's just fantastic to look at. Great logo. Coke is out here. Barefoot Wines is out here. If you want to get a sample of their wine products, you can do that. New Amsterdam Vodka, Smart Chicken, Omaha Steaks, again, giving out free samples. Over 70 different local and regional products are going to be available to sample. Local chefs, mixologists, the people that mix your drinks, are going to be on stage doing demonstrations all weekend. Plus, they have a barbecue competition going on in the courtyard now that the rains have kind of cleared out. They're going to have 15 barbecue teams out here, and we all know how much we like the barbecue. So you can come by and check out the competition. The band Drew Six is going to be performing, and a chance to win dinner for a year at 52 different restaurants by texting Tasty Expo to 31996. That's 31996. Now, the price to get in, if you pay at the door, is $20, or you can get it discounted online by going to tastyexpo.com and putting the promo code 810, convenient, 810, get $4 off, so it's $16. That may sound like a lot for a ticket to get into the Tasty Expo, but I am telling you, just looking at it with my own eyes, the number of foods and beverages and wines and vodkas and barbecues that are available out here, you could throw back $50 to $100 worth of stuff easily. But if you use that promo code 810 when you log into tastyexpo.com, you get your ticket for $16. So please come and see us at the Tasty Expo at the Overland Park Convention Center. Sun is starting to peek through just a little bit. I was checking Gary Lezak's forecast on 41 Action News, and it looked like the rains were going to clear out for the morning and the rest of the afternoon and maybe come back into play tonight. So I don't know if the Royals game will be affected or not, but that's where it stands right now. All right, let's start with the Kansas City Royals and Jed Marshall, who's back at the Rally House Studios. Feel free to jump in at any time. Yankees-Royals isn't what it used to be. Let's be honest about that, okay? The Royals have won two American League pennants and a World Series in the last handful of years. The Yankees have not won an American League pennant in 9 years, almost 10 years now. So it's not the rivalry that it used to be. It's not the rivalry it was when I was a kid, when we were going to the playoffs every year. Yankees, Royals, Yankees, Royals, Yankees, Royals. Finally beat the Yankees in '80, got to the World Series, and then the Yankees won all the World Series in the 90s and the 2000s, and then it came back to the Royals a few years ago. So the rivalry is not what it used to be. But to me, the appeal is, can you knock off the big dog? Can you watch a team play against Aaron Judge, MVP, Giancarlo Stanton, MVP, Didi Gregorius, Gary Sanchez, Brett Gardner, who might be towards the end of his major league career, but still has been a quality Yankees player and a quality outfielder. Can you go toe-to-toe with them? If you can you do it for one game? Can you do it for two games? Can you do it for an entire series? Well, the short answer is you can do it for one game, which Jake Junis did last night. He was not efficient, but he threw quality pitches in big-time leverage situations.
I thought he was kind of getting squeezed by the zone, though, Brad.
The strike zone, Jed Marshall, you are exactly right, was ridiculous for both pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, he was consistently bad, but it was a pretty bad zone last night. And when you talk about Junis not being pitch efficient, I think that was one of the main reasons.
Yes, I would agree with that. It was, 101 pitches and 62 strikes over 5 1/3. And if you look at Junis' track record for the season, that's not indicative of what you've seen so far. He did have the one hiccup about 2 weeks ago, the bad one. But I think you're right. You watch that. I don't know how accurate the FoxTrax locator box is. I think it is pretty accurate. I know I used to have discussions with the late Steve Palermo in the press box before he passed away about the accuracy, and especially the one that really bothered Steve Palermo was the overhead cam in Toronto, because he didn't feel it was situated properly and gave an inaccurate representation of where the ball was actually traveling. So, yeah, the strike zone was terrible. I'll agree with you, Jed, for both pitchers. I think Sabathia was frustrated with it. I think Junis was frustrated with it. I think some of the hitters were frustrated, because all the hitter wants to know is what's a strike. And hitters can go from there. If you're giving the high strike, fine. I'm swinging away. I know Alex Gordon in particular was frustrated with some calls last night. So the strike zone was bad. And it ran up the pitch counts for both starting pitchers. But Sabathia isn't the Sabathia he was 10 years ago. But Jake Junis, I know, was frustrated on a couple of calls. And he stepped back off the rubber, didn't say anything. He's not logged enough innings in the major leagues where he can glare in and challenge an umpire. What the heck are you calling here? But he showed his frustration. And Salvador Perez had to keep him in check. Focus on the task at hand. So when you're looking at that lineup of the Yankees, who have been just murdering people this season, they have four players with 10 or more home runs. Here's what the big dogs did last night against the Royals. Aaron Judge, 0-4. Didi Gregorius, 0-4. Giancarlo Stanton, 2-4 with a run scored, but no real serious damage. Gary Sanchez, 0-4. Brett Gardner at the top of the lineup, 1-5. So Jake Junis, and as well as the relievers who came in, aside from Tim Hill, who allowed two inherited runners to score, which counted against Junis's ERA, for the most part, locked down the big dogs for the New York Yankees, and you have to do that. And for the Royals' part, their guys came alive. Whit Merrifield's been hot for 2 weeks now. He's got an 11-game hitting streak, 3-4, scored a couple of times, and had 3 stolen bases, which now jumped him up, I believe, to number 2 in the American League in stolen bases. He's behind D. Gordon of Seattle. Teams have not figured out Whit Merrifield's strategy to stealing bases, because to me, he doesn't look like he's got Jerod Dyson speed. Either they haven't figured out his strategy, or Whit Merrifield has done a lot of extra video study of opposing pitchers and worked with Mitch Meyer and the Royals coaches, the base running program, when to take off, Because CeCe Sabathia, let's be honest, if he's going to try a pickoff throw to first base, it's going to take a day and a half to get there. It's going to be for show. The days of CeCe Sabathia picking guys off, maybe he was never the best at it anyway, but those days are long gone. And Whit Merrifield was getting on the jump easily. One of the three stolen bases was a little bit close. The one at third base was a little bit close. But he's got the read, and when his read is on, he is a weapon and something the Royals need because they're not going to hit home runs the way the Yankees do. Whit Merrifield is out of his slump. He's on an 11-game hitting streak. He's stealing, but he's getting on, and he's moving around. Whether he's knocked in or whether he's stealing bases to get in a better spot, he's getting it done. Now, Salvador Perez had been really struggling. His 0-for streak was into the teens, and he goes 2-for-3, had the big home run, monster shot, 402 feet into left field, drove in 3 runs, and also had a walk. So he was on base last night. He was getting runs driven in and moving guys around. Big thing for the Royals. When you got a close game, when you get that 4-0 lead, okay, you're feeling good. Or 3-0 lead, you feel good. Then it's 4-2. Oh, boy, it's the Yankees, 4-2. I don't think a 2-run lead is going to be good enough. Salvi drives in one more to make it 5-2. Still not comfortable, but considering you've got Brad Keller lined up, and it looks like Ned Yost and the Royals and the analytics guys have settled on, let's use Brad Keller in whatever situation we need him, mostly high leverage, but if we need to stretch him out to 3 innings like they did last week, we're going to do that. If we need him in the 8th inning of a tight ball game against a lineup like the Yankees, let's do that. Let's get it to Kelvin Herrera. And Kelvin Herrera has been spectacular. I had to double-check when I looked up some of the numbers this morning. Kelvin Herrera still has not walked a batter.
This season?
I believe that's it's a streak, gosh darn it. I knew if I didn't write it down, I was gonna miss it. And I left my note. I texted you this morning. I left my notepad at home. But
I'm looking here.
Okay. When you're throwing... He's not the 101 that he used to be, but when you're throwing 97,
wow.
98 consistently.
Yeah, no walks this season.
No walks. And
15 strikeouts, no walks.
And that's when you're throwing at that speed, considering the struggles he had last year, you would expect him to wobble on at least one at bat. Not everything is a pipe shot down the middle of the plate. It's hard to control when you throw it that hard, that consistently. And to not walk a batter?
Yeah, that's really impressive. He's been really good. It makes you think. I know you were talking about how the Royals, you know, if they can win a couple of games here and there, I think at least I'm well past that point. I'm thinking about trade value and looking at Kelvin Herrera's numbers. Wow.
That's the other part of the discussion. Now, stealing a game for the Yankees, that's fun.
Sure, sure.
But we're all thinking, Jed, what you just talked about, trade value. And if you're a general manager with a team that's in competition and you have any hiccups in your bullpen, you think you need an extra guy, Kelvin Herrera is top of the list right now.
Agreed. I think there are a lot of Royals who would be pretty valuable pieces to a contending team. I know Whit Merrifield's under team control for quite a few years, but I'd even look at moving him.
Yeah. Solid second base, bat coming around, can move on the bases. He's a smart baseball player.
Versatile player, can play every position, even first base for some reason.
I mean, Whit Merrifield was frustrating to me early on in the season because I thought he gambled in situations he shouldn't, trying to get the extra base on a sure single. He was thrown out a few times on the bases. And he would say after the game, well, I probably shouldn't have tried for the extra base there. Maybe I shouldn't try to swipe third base with 2 outs, and he made some mistakes, and he admitted he made some mistakes, but now perhaps he's learned how to eliminate those mistakes and increase the value. And when you're doing it, if you're a Kelvin Herrera, a Whit Merrifield, and you're doing it against a team like the Yankees, you know everybody on the East Coast is watching. We could use an extra body. A lot of teams can use an extra body. Seattle, I was reading, I think it was the MLB trade rumors page. Seattle might have an interest in a Whit Merrifield, with Robinson Cano being suspended for 80 games and unavailable for the postseason. They've already had pretty good luck the last couple of years with a former Royal named Gerard Dyson. But Whit Merrifield could be a guy that could fit in if they think they're going to be competitive enough to make that run. And they don't – look, Whit Merrifield's not going to bring back a major haul in the trade market. He's just not. He might be able to get some low-A guys that have some potential, but nobody that's going to be in the top 50 or top 100 prospects list. I wouldn't think so. But getting that trade value up, big. So we're going to talk Royals a little bit later in the show with David Leske. He'll come up at 11 o'clock on the Sprint guest line. Coming up at 9:25, Matt Wheeler is going to talk NBA draft and the combine going on in Chicago, things they're putting together for ESPN and the NBA draft coverage. The other thing that I'm going to ask every guest about today, and maybe I should, have counseled Jed Marshall before I threw that out there, so I'll just throw it out to Jed first. Jed, did you watch any of the Royal Wedding festivities this morning?
No. Why would I have?
That's... Well, it would take a conscious decision on your part to flip the channel to that. I was in a situation where the person controlling the TV, that's what was on. So I kind of I would walk in and out and, oh, God, who's this? Who's that? Why are we doing this?
What time did it start?
I don't know. I woke up at 5 o'clock, so I think it was going on before that.
Wow.
I saw many tweets from people saying that they were setting their alarms for 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, my God, why would you do that on a Saturday in America?
I mean, I get it, and everyone has their own thing. I remember when the U.S. was, I guess it would have been 2002, they were playing, like, games at, you know, 4:30 in the morning, and we would stay up all night and watch those. Granted, I was 19 at that time, but I'd set my alarm for, like, World Cup games. Maybe it's the equivalency. I guess here's where my confusion comes in. Granted, I'm not a female, obviously, but I don't understand what the appeal of, like, watching the wedding ceremony or, like, the award shows to see the dresses and what that's all about. How is that fun?
Yeah, I don't really understand all that. I suppose the appeal part of it is that she a princess, duchess, whatever she's an American, so I get the appeal.
Yeah, Meghan Markle.
And this is what I thought about it. I thought about going on this big rant. You know, why?
Go for it. We got a few minutes.
Okay, all right. So and it's all over Twitter. And by the way, the tweet of the day for this goes to Billy Idol. Tweet of the day for Billy Idol. Because what do you think? What would you want Billy Idol to tweet out on a day like today when everybody's watching the royal wedding?
Nice day for a white wedding.
Okay, that's what you would think. Instead, Billy Idol tweets out, "It's a beautiful day in the UK for Harry and Meghan to have an outdoor service."
Boo. That's awful.
Yes.
Oh, my.
So he's getting crushed and celebrated on Twitter. You know, the Billy Idol fans, I'm a Billy Idol fan. People say, "Come on, Billy, just say it. You know you want to say it. Please just say it." And he won't say it. And so it's gotten, I don't know, thousands and thousands of retweets and favorites and all that. And he will not say it. He will not give in to what the people want. And I think it's hilarious.
I'm going to look during the break, Billy Idol, and probably comment on that. That's weak. That's awful.
You know, and maybe he'll say it at some point, but he's just trolling people who want him to say it.
It would have been so perfect, though. I don't know. Maybe it is cliche, and maybe he's doing it to get more people to think about Billy Idol. I don't really think he's been relevant for, what, like 30 years?
Yeah, he does. I think if he tours, it would be like a Starlight type show now. It wouldn't be.
Starlight's a good venue. That's my favorite venue in Kansas City.
Well, I'm going to be at Starlight tonight, but it's not for a music concert. It's my kids want to see the Impractical Jokers. So if whatever channel Impractical Jokers on.
It's on True TV, Brad.
True TV. And that show is on 24/7.
I think that's the only show that they have as far as I'm aware.
Yes. So I'll be taking that in. But my initial reaction to all this stuff this morning and my Twitter timeline being clogged with royal wedding stuff, who cares? And they're spending, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on a wedding for people in England. What, their tax rate is 50 to 60% and all these people are paying for it. But we have our own unofficial royalty in America that spends ridiculous amounts of money on stuff. And I thought, okay, It's I'm not interested in it. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. And then I thought about the American perspective. Who makes money? What's the most American thing you can think of? Making money, right?
I was maybe freedom, Brad, but
well,
I don't know.
Well, freedom. But what's the American thing? How about this?
Let me capitalism. This no, I get it.
What's the most American thing to do surrounding a big event? Make money for yourself. And so you go into these little shops and stores all over Kansas City in the Midwest, and there's the plates and the cups and the spoons and the T-shirts, and people are buying this. So it gives a great chance for American business owners to make a ton of money. Maybe not individually, but collectively, this has got to be every time one of these weddings happens, people in America make money. CNN, making money. ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, all of them making money because they've been on the air for 8, 9, 10, 12 hours. They're going to be on all day talking. If an alien ship landed in Central Park in Manhattan today, we wouldn't know about it.
No. I was blown away yesterday when I was watching the news early. It was like, I don't know, maybe 9, 9:30, and they were already doing royal wedding coverage. I was like, what time is it in England? And I was like, no, it's not even the day. This is absurd. This is like Super Bowl times 50.
Oh, yeah. No, it's big. And they bring in all the big anchors. It's not the entertainment people who cover this. They bring in the big dogs. I know I saw Robin Roberts was there, and all the networks had their main anchors there.
Yeah.
They cover it like this is an earth-shattering event, like an election or a funeral or state funeral.
I'm partial to NBC, and like Hoda Kotb was there, and Savannah, I can't remember her last name.
Savannah Guthrie.
Sure, and they had Megyn Kelly. It was the whole squad, and Al Roker was there for some reason. I don't know why. But all of those people, it was like, again, 9 in the morning here in the U.S., so I'm not sure what time it was in England. But all of those people seemed like they were having a really good time, if you get my drift.
yes, I see where you're going with that. I'm not so sure you have to be the most polished person in the world while covering a wedding, especially if you have a panel of 5 people. You can play hide-and-seek with the people who aren't all the way cut in, so to speak. All right, so we got a great show lined up for you today. Coming up at 9:25, Matt Wheeler from ESPN covers college basketball. Also helps get the shows ready for the NBA draft. So we'll talk with Matt here in a couple of minutes. The NBA combine going on in Chicago. So we'll see what Matt thinks about that. At 10 o'clock, Jan Kessinger from the Kansas House of Representatives. He represents Overland Park, the 20th District, and he's working on legislation to legalize sports gambling in the state of Kansas. So we'll talk to Jan Kessinger at 10 o'clock. At 10:25, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com will join us. He covers Major League Soccer and the U.S. men's and women's national team. The men and women's national team are making trips to Kansas City in the next few months. And Sporting plays on Sunday afternoon against Minnesota United, so we'll talk with Andy at 10:25. At 11 o'clock, David Leske from Baseball Prospectus Kansas City will join us, talk about Jake Junis' latest victory. Is he on his way to 300? I saw Seren Petro joking this morning on Twitter that maybe Curtis Seabolt will have to take back his promise that no one would ever reach 300 again, so that was kind of funny. So that's coming up at 11 o'clock. All right, we are broadcasting today from the Tasty Expo at the Overland Park Convention Center. This place is absolutely huge. You have to come out and see all the big vendors out here, the food vendors, the beverage vendors. It costs $20 at the door, but if you go to tastyexpo.com, use the promo code 810, you can get it for $16. That way you're not waiting in line. And I'm telling you, when you see the amount of food, when you see the barbecue, when you see the drinks that are available out here to sample, you're going to be throwing back $50 to $100 without even thinking about it. And it only costs you about $16. We're going to have a lot of fun out here. So we'll go ahead and take our first time out. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. It looks like the rains have moved on here this morning. It was pouring when I got out here to the Overland Park Convention Center about 7:45, and it was pouring pretty good, but it looks like it's cleared out now. And we are at the Overland Park Convention Center for the Tasty Expo. And it's exactly what it sounds like, Tasty Expo. They have all kinds of food vendors, beverage vendors out here. The different kinds of food that you can sample are endless. There's chicken, there's beef, there's trail mix, there's pretzels. I mean, this is like high quality stuff. This isn't just snacks. This is all good stuff here. And you can taste, you can sip, you can learn. Costs $20 at the door, but if you go to tastyexpo.com and use the promo code 810, you can get a ticket for $16, and that way you don't have to stand in line. And I'll just repeat this over and over again. As I walk through the Overland Park Convention Center, it's not just a handful of tables. It's huge. And you can toss back $50 to $100 worth of food and drinks without even really trying. Without even really trying. And they have great stuff out here. Top national brands, Deep Eddy Vodka, and their streamlined trailer that's out front. You can take pictures with it. It's fantastic. It's a throwback to the 50s and the 60s. Coke is out here. Barefoot Wines, New Amsterdam Vodka, Smart Chicken, Omaha Steaks. You're going to get samples of Omaha Steaks. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. Jed, are there still Omaha Steaks in the freezer?
There are.
Okay, I was.
I don't know whose those are. Maybe I should take them, but well, I probably won't since I just said it over the radio.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. It's like that Rally House Kansas City hat that's in the studio there.
Still
I keep,
there.
I keep threatening to take it, and Lebo's like, yeah, I've been listening, and I'm watching that hat. So I've been on notice on that one. They've got 70 different local and regional products out here at the Tasty Expo at the Overland Park Convention Center. Also, local chefs and mixologists are going to be on stage showing you how to make the great drinks, some great food stuff. They're going to have 16 different teams competing in the barbecue contest, which is out in the main concourse. So you can stop by and try all of that stuff. Drew Six, one of the bands, is going to be performing out here. And you can win dinner for a year. Dinner for a year at 52 different restaurants by texting Tasty Expo to 31996. That's 31996. So absolutely fantastic stuff here. It's bigger than you think. And the rains have cleared out, so it's a good day to come out and check it all out. All right, we're going to go to our Sprint guest line right now and bring in someone I work with for many years in television, and I call him a good friend of mine, Matt Wheeler from ESPN. Covers college basketball and also gets the shows ready for the NBA draft. Matt, this is your big season. College basketball is done, but you're getting ready for the draft. They got the scouting combine going on in Chicago. This is big time for you. You're not getting much rest, are you?
No, I don't think I have a day off again until probably after the NBA draft is over.
Oh my gosh, man alive. Well, I know you live and breathe basketball. And for the folks that have heard Matt on the show before, if you haven't, Matt knows everything about college basketball. He knows everything about European League basketball. He knows everything about high school basketball. So anybody that could possibly get drafted into the NBA, Matt Wheeler knows him. You know everybody.
Well, I'm just a big fan. That's all, Brad.
Well, the questions, the big question I get, in addition to, you know, the KU players, the Missouri players, and why isn't Barry Brown from K-State at the combine? The other big question I get is about European players, specifically Luka Doncic. And I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that name right. Doncic or Doncic?
Doncic.
Doncic, okay.
Yes.
He's potentially the number one overall pick, or DeAndre, or DeAndre Ayton, or there's, you know, maybe one or two other guys it could be. But Doncic, pardon me, is the name we just don't know anything about. His videos have been posted. I don't know enough about him. You've seen him play. How good is he? Does his game translate to the NBA? Is he a good guy to spend the number one overall pick on?
Well, he definitely is. The situation now that we know what the draft order is, since the NBA likes to draw it out and out and out and out before we actually find out what the draft order is.
That was a long show, Matt. I'm going to be honest with you. That was a long show.
Exactly. it's tough. I think it's tough for Phoenix to take Doncic because basically he'd be playing the same position as Devin Booker. So even though the connections, you know, the people are bringing up the new coach.
The new coach was
his coach for the Slovenian national team. You know, Goran Dragic has ties to the Phoenix, having played there a couple times. Dragic is a very close friend of Doncic's and teammate of his on the Slovenian national team. But, You know, to me, I think they need to pair a big with Devin Booker, and a lot of people seem to feel that way as well. And I think Doncic is listed as a point guard, and I've seen him play quite a bit. And to me, he's better having plays run for him, and then he gets the ball, say, on the wing, and then he can distribute or do what he needs to after that. He's not a guy, I think, that's going to be bringing the ball up the court every possession, running an offense. I don't think that's him. I think he's more of a wing, playing on the wing. He is 6'8", so he's got great size. He does have good passing ability. And he had a triple-double two weeks ago now. The first triple-double in the ACB Spanish League in 11 years. And you think about the players that have played in the ACB over the last 11 years, Porzingis, the Hernan Gomez brothers, Ricky Rubio, Rudy Fernandez, Sergio Rodriguez, all guys that went on to play in the NBA, and none of them did that, which is amazing to think. But Doncic, I think, is better off as a wing, and I think Sacramento right there is a very good spot for him at number two. You can have, and talk about a great international wing combo that Sacramento would have with Doncic, and they've got Bogdan Bogdanovic, who was a rookie this past season from Serbia. And again, Vlade Divac making the calls for the Kings in that number two spot. Again, ties to that former Yugoslavian area. He's from Serbia as well. So, and they have a need at that spot. So I think Sacramento is probably the best fit for him.
All right, we're talking with Matt Wheeler from ESPN, covers college basketball, and then he gets the shows ready for the NBA draft, which is coming up. So he knows everybody from everywhere. We're talking about Luka Doncic first because he's the player we probably know the least about. So the other story coming out about Doncic, which I think is ridiculous, is, well, you know, he's been playing in Europe for a couple of years, and, you know, he makes pretty good money over there, and guys who play in Europe make good money. Look, the top guys, you know this, Matt, you can make really good money, and I stress that to college players who don't get drafted. Go to Europe, make a ton of money, okay? Yep. But the highest paid guys are probably making $3.5 to $4.5 million. Doncic, if he's a number one, a number two, or a number three pick, he's making 2 to 3 times that, and then when you get to the time when you can get your max contract, that, to me, that's the most ridiculous argument. He's not going to stay in Europe if he's a top 3 to 5 pick, in my opinion. I don't think he would.
Right, and you look at that, too. He would be able to hit that max time 4 years from now, and he's 19 now. So you look at, he'd be 23. You know, he'd really be just starting to get into his prime. So he could sign a, assuming everything pans out and he is as good as advertised, he could be getting a huge long-term deal from somebody, and definitely like Russ Westbrook just signed the $250 million deal last offseason. That's exactly what Doncic could be looking at down the road.
Yeah, it's a difference between lifetime money and generational money. And
exactly.
It's going to be in the NBA. All right, with Phoenix having the top pick, I'm going to assume that DeAndre Ayton is getting a ton of attention, playing for Arizona and obviously being ridiculously talented. But is he a guy that you would slot into that one spot to be a better fit for the Suns, better fit than Doncic?
I think he's the right fit for Phoenix because they already have a big-time scoring guard. Now, Phoenix has a lot of positional needs. They're obviously in a big, big rebuild. But they really need some scoring in the post. Now, they brought in a couple guys over the last couple seasons. Marquese Chris, great athlete out of Washington, but he's really just kind of been a good athlete so far. He's blocked some shots. Yeah, he's thrown down some sick dunks on some pick and rolls, but he's not a guy that you can throw the ball to on the block and he'll go and get you 25 or even 20. Dragan Bender was a guy, another highly European prospect, played for Maccabi Tel Aviv in the EuroLeague. He was supposed to be a big-time guy. They took him in the top 10, but he has been plagued by injury so far in his career, and so far he's really only been a backup. Now, they still have Tyson Chandler, which I think could be a perfect complement to DeAndre Ayton. You bring in, say you draft Ayton, you bring him in, And then you have Chandler, one of the best defensive centers probably ever in the history of the NBA, because that's what his main focus is. Now he's throwing down some alley-oop dunks on the offensive end, but he really prided himself on the defensive side. I think that would be a great fit if they got Ayton, and you could have Ayton learn from Chandler and teach him about how the way people are going to defend him. And really, you're looking at a situation kind of like what Minnesota had a couple years, well, until now, where they had Wiggins and they had Carl Anthony Towns. I think, I was telling your producer this before I came on the air, I think DeAndre Ayton can become a Carl Anthony Towns type guy. Ayton's already got a good mid-range jump shot, and he's going to continue to develop that, and I think he'll continue to stretch that out to the three-point line like Carl Anthony Towns has. Now, Carl Anthony Towns was already a better three-point shooter when he came into the league. Coach Cal at Kentucky just didn't let him shoot threes when he was there. But I think Ayton has that kind of upside, and you talk about if he can give them that kind of scoring from the three-point line and the post with Devin Booker, Phoenix is in a really good situation for the future.
All right, we're talking with Matt Wheeler from ESPN, covers college basketball and gets their shows ready for all the NBA draft coverage coming up. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, as we broadcast live from the Tasty Expo at the Overland Park Convention Center. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios, and Matt joins us courtesy of the Sprint guest line. Matt, another player to ask you about, and then I'm going to go MPJ next. You knew that was going to come. But Colin Sexton of Alabama, you know, he – being in the SEC gives you a pretty good stage and a platform. You're on TV a lot, but you don't get a lot of national attention when you play at Alabama. But Colin Sexton is a guy who's been on the radar screen. Where does he stack up right now, especially after the camps and the rookie workouts and everything?
Look, I covered every team in the SEC this year. I got to see every team, and Colin Sexton was one of the best players in that league, and I thought the SEC and the Big 12 were the two best college basketball leagues in the whole country this year. And I thought Sexton was as good as anybody that I saw. And I still think the debate between Sexton and Trae Young, I love Trae Young. I think he's going to be really good, but it's going to depend on the fit where he goes. Sexton, I think, is more pro-ready at this point, and I think also playing for Avery Johnson will help him become a better pro quicker. Now, Trae Young may be better in the long run, and, you know, Trae obviously smaller, needs to put on size. Sexton bigger. Now, he needs to put on some size as well, but again, he's only 19 years old, so that will obviously come with a lot of these guys that we're talking about. But Sexton, from a skill perspective, is incredible. I mean, that SEC tournament, I mean, he was just doing whatever he wanted. And I think he knows how to run an offense as well. Now, he had to score a lot at Alabama because he just wasn't getting the help from his teammates that many people probably thought he was going to get this past season. I know I thought Alabama was going to be a little bit better, and I thought the supporting cast was going to be better around Sexton. But I think he had to score a little bit more. But he's not against setting other people up. And I think, again, it's the fit for Sexton where he lands, but I do believe that he's more pro-ready. And I think if he gets in the right situation again, I think he could really shine right away.
All right, we're talking with Matt Wheeler from ESPN. He used to work here in Kansas City. I worked with him for many years at a place called Metro Sports, and Matt's getting ready for the NBA draft, and he joins us on the Sprint guest line. All right, Michael Porter Jr. For our area. He has been talking at the rookie workouts in Chicago, and he said, my back is 100%. I enjoyed my time at Missouri. I am good to go. How do NBA teams, as you're getting ready for the draft and you're getting feedback from around the country, how do NBA teams feel about a guy who played a handful of minutes his freshman year of college and didn't get to see a lot else? Or was his talent and the evaluation of him baked in when he was in high school? Everybody knew what he was already.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing, is everybody knows what kind of skill set he already has. Everybody's scouts have already been scouting him for 3+ years. So that's not a huge deal, but I think the back issue is still a concern. It's still a concern. That's why you're still seeing him projected out by most people to not be in the top five. I mean, if people really were not that concerned about the back, this guy's in the conversation for the top three picks. I mean, easily, hands down. His skill set at his size is incredible. I mean, I remember before the season, his NBA comparison for most people was Kevin Durant. And last I checked, Kevin Durant's a pretty good player.
Only one of the best.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what he can do at that size, the way he can handle the ball, the way he can shoot it with range, it was clearly when he played for Mizzou in the last two games of the year. Obviously, he's airballing threes. But, you know, before the back injury, he's making a lot of those threes.
Right.
So he clearly didn't have his legs under him. But if he is 100%, which, you know, obviously he didn't show off his ability.
Right.
At the camp, but which I understand that, again, agent doing his job there. You know, if he's 100%, I mean, somebody who's not picking in the top five probably is going to get a major steal.
All right, we're talking with Matt Wheeler from ESPN, talking NBA draft. He's putting together all the shows for him. One final draft question, and then I'll quickly get your thought on Celtics-Cavaliers, which is turning lopsided rather quickly. For Kansas, Malik Newman and Billy Preston, neither one participated in the workouts in Chicago. They went for the measurements and those sorts of things in the interviews, but no workouts. For Malik Newman, okay, Kansas fans got to see a lot of him, but Billy Preston never played a minute in a regular season game for Kansas. And Billy Preston is saying he's getting a lot of questions about what's happened over the last few years, because he went to four different high schools in 4 years. He got to Kansas, looks like he's going to play, had a good summer, had a good exhibition game against your Missouri Tigers at Sprint Center.
Yeah, he did look good.
And then the issue with the car came up. The car got damaged. Whose car is it? Who paid for it? How did he come in possession of this car? Billy Preston is not answering questions publicly about that, about what happened with the car. But these teams are asking a ton of questions. Look, he's not a lottery pick guy. But do questions about that, questions about somebody's personal background, do those affect players at the lower end of the draft more than the upper end? Because the upper end, if somebody's got an issue, it doesn't matter. If he's the best player in America, we're taking him. But a guy who's going to be drafted in the 20s, the 30s, maybe in the second round, maybe it matters a little bit more because you don't need to bring in somebody who maybe isn't the most more as talented as the lottery guys.
Yeah, I think it's probably a concern for him. Also, you know, when he went over and played in Bosnia, he only played in, I believe, three or four games, because he got injured. And then they brought him back to the United States. So, you know, he's being coached and trained much like everybody else. Somebody is telling him, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what people are going to ask you. This is what you need to do. So he's following along what he's being told to do, which is it the right thing? Is it the wrong thing? Well, every player is different. But, you know, obviously he is a major concern. And even before all this was even going down, I don't even really remember seeing him that often on mock drafts. I think I really saw him maybe a couple times in late second round. And, again, like I said before on your show here, Brad, trying to project the second round of the NBA draft is a joke. I mean, nobody should even try to do it. It's ridiculous. Because a whole bunch of guys are going to get drafted that nobody's ever heard of.
Right, and then they're going to get traded, or they're going to end up
right.
in Europe.
Exactly,
or
they're going to get stashed in Europe. Exactly. So I think he may not get drafted. He's going to get an opportunity, though. I mean, whatever happens, if he does or doesn't get drafted, somebody's going to sign him. He's going to go to summer league with somebody. And then that's really, and kind of piggybacking off what we were just talking about with Michael Porter Jr. too, for a lot of these guys with these questions, summer league is really where you're going to have to answer these questions. Now, obviously, a guy like Michael Porter Jr. is going to get drafted in the top 10. He's going to be fine. He's going to have a guaranteed contract. But for a guy like Billy Preston, assuming he doesn't get drafted, or if he does get drafted in the second round, you're not guaranteed, for the most part, the second round. Now, there's a lot of people, Woj thinks that there's going to be more guaranteed contracts for second-round picks ever this year. which I tend to agree with, because you're going to get a lot of players like Devontae Graham, maybe even Jalen Brunson drops into the second round, that are going to get guaranteed deals because they're first round talent caliber guys, but just this draft is so deep. But still, though, if you're a second round pick, for the most part, you don't get a guaranteed contract. So you've really got to go and play well in the summer league. And that's going to be the big key for Billy Preston. So for now, he's probably doing the best thing. You know, he's trying to keep his mind on the workouts. He's trying to do what he can take care of. He doesn't need to get this other stuff out into the media and everything. And I understand that for us in the media, yeah, we want to know. We want the answers. But for him, he's just trying to focus on basketball right now, which is probably the best thing for him.
All right, Matt Wheeler, hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you being up and talking NBA draft with us and getting us ready. And we'll look forward to finding out who goes where or who doesn't go somewhere. It'll all be interesting. Matt, enjoy all the work. I know you really love getting stuff ready for the NBA draft and doing stuff for ESPN. I know it's your big thing. This is like your Super Bowl. So enjoy it. I know it's hard work, but have fun with it, my friend.
Thanks, Brad. Good talking to you.
All right, that's Matt Wheeler, a good friend of mine. We used to work together at Metro Sports, and now he's the worldwide leader at ESPN working on the NBA draft. So he joins us on the Sprint guest line. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Tasty Expo at the Overland Park Convention Center. Lines are already building up to get in here. The food, the beverages, the free samples that you get here are unbelievable. At the door, a ticket will cost you $20, but if you go online to tastyexpo.com and use the promo code 810, you can save yourself $4, $16. They've got 150 food and beverage companies inside the Overland Park Convention Center, including Deep Eddy Vodka, Coke, Barefoot Wines, New Amsterdam Vodka, Smart Chicken, Omaha Steaks. You get samples of all this stuff, and you're going to be able to try out probably $100 worth of free food and beverages out here. So get out here and see us, the Overland Park Convention Center. It's the Tasty Expo. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah, bam, hey, what's up? Yeah, we like that, you know. Yeah, I like this. Of all the new music that's been playing so far, this is my favorite right now. Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I'm Brad Porter. We are broadcasting live from the Tasty Expo at the Overland Park Convention Center. The line is building. It's a pretty good line out here. If you buy tickets at the door, it's $25 for adults, $12 for children. If you go online to tastyexpo.com and use the promo code 810, you can save a bunch of money. You can get a ticket for $16. $16. And I've got a few tickets I might be able to give away later. I've got some glassware they want me to give away. Details yet. They're not letting me know everything yet, so we'll have to figure that out. All right, Jed Marshall's back at the Rally House Studios. We just wrapped up with Matt Wheeler on the Sprint guest line. Jed, kind of some thoughts about the NBA draft. I'm excited about it because there's a lot of local names and in the draft, but players get traded all the time, especially in the middle of the first round. But I'm excited to see what's going to happen, especially to the Kansas and Missouri guys.
The NBA draft is arguably one of the best nights of the year just because it's so unpredictable and there's so many trades. It's unbelievable theater, and normally, shout out to Seren, he normally has me over, so it's always a good time.
It's amazing how quickly players get drafted. I mean, they're up on the stage shaking hands with the commissioner, and on the stairway down off the stage, they're giving them a new hat because they've just been traded, which has to be a strange experience. All right, we're going to wrap up this hour. When we come back, Jan Kessinger from the Kansas House of Representatives, represents Overland Park, will join us and talk about the future of sports gambling. That's coming up next. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB as we broadcast live from the Kansas City Tasty Expo at the Overland Park Convention Center.
Even if you drive a Pinto, a hero is a sandwich and a marriage is a meal.